serving a miracle-working God.
I believe this is your day.
God's getting ready to use you. The Spirit of God raises up a standard. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah!
I feel like preaching today.
I am going to use as my text from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 1, just one verse of scripture, verse number 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Jesus is a deliverer. He hath delivered us. Past tense. He doth deliver now, present tense. And he shall yet deliver, future tense. So you can't get away from it. You have no way to go but be delivered. This is your way out. I don't care what your problem is, and let me begin by saying, you that are watching this by television and you that are listening by means of radio, read this entire first chapter of 2 Corinthians and you will find the Apostle Paul declaring that he is a man that endured temptation and trouble. Now, he is not talking about bodily affliction. Jesus paid the price for us to be healed. But there are some things that are much greater than physical sickness, and that's many of the troubles that you are going through right now. And I'm not here to minimize it. I'm here to declare it, that you're going through the trouble, but you don't have to stay in the mess that you're in. Because Jesus is a deliverer, and he will set you free. He hath set you free, and he will set you free. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Now, I like the way the book of James declares it, and I want to deal with it from the book of James. And you can read this also in your devotional time. And the first thing that James says concerning tribulation and trouble, he says, my brethren, in verse number 2, count it all joy. Lord have mercy, what's he talking about? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now that word count is in the Greek means to evaluate. It has a mathematical term. You can add it up. Count it all joy. When trouble comes your way, start with joy. And if you'll learn how to start with joy, you'll end with joy. And this is where we puzzle the devil. Would you like to puzzle the devil? I mean, he's always messing. And I always use an expression, when the devil starts messing, God starts blessing. And I'm not here to minimize the trouble that you're going through. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. There is a way out of your troubles. There is a way out of your disturbances. There is a way out of your afflictions. And I'm not talking about sickness, because God has already made that provision. But you that have your back against the wall, you that are having family problems, you that are having problems on the job, you that are having problems in your mind, you don't have to suffer. God is going to deliver you. He has always been a deliverer. He is the one that set you free from sin. He's the one that's delivering you now, and he is yet the one that will deliver you. He is a deliverer. Now, don't you let the devil steal your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, if you're going to end with joy, then you've got to start with joy, regardless of what you're going through. This will give the devil a mental hernia. He won't understand the trouble you're going through. You're not acting like the world out there, going around with your chin in your chest. It's a hard old way. I hear Christians saying it. Pray for me that I might be the daughter that God's looking for. And he's going to have to look a mighty long way. Get your head up high. You are somebody. You're a child of God. That devil is a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Don't let the devil steal your joy. He may knock you down for a while, but it ain't over yet. God's people have a way of getting back up and getting into the conflict. And let the devil know he has no business on your back. He has no business in your chest. He has no business in your stomach or in your legs or in your feet. He has no business in your spouse. He has no business in your children. That devil has no business in your pocketbook or in your checkbook. There's only one place the devil has any right to be, and that's under your feet. Your elder brother Jesus destroyed him, rendered him powerless. Everybody stomp your feet, will you? Oh, hallelujah. Put the devil where he belongs, under your feet. He is defeated. To end with joy, start with joy. When the devil puts these things on you, when he sees you getting happy, he's going to step aside and say, that's the wrong reaction. They're supposed to be discouraged. They're supposed to be knocked down. But instead, they're shouting. What do you think we go to church for? And yet some of you church folks, you see people shouting and dancing and praising the Lord, and you sit there like a wart on a pickle, and you say, if they had to go through what I was gone through, they wouldn't be making that noise. Wake up! My God, they're going through worse than what you are. But they've learned the secret that if you're going to end with joy, you've got to start with joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. That devil cannot touch what God's put on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, hallelujah. When Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, he destroyed the devil's works. He healed the sick. He cast out devils, brought deliverance to people. He raised the dead. He took authority over the elements. But in his death, and in his burial, and in his resurrection, he destroyed him. I said he destroyed him. Who? Old Slewfoot. I'm talking about the devil, that one that had the keys of death and hell and the grave. Jesus went down into the regions of the damned, and he took the keys from him. He didn't ask for him. He tore them right out of his hand, and he led captivity captive. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You have no business being downcast or forlorn, because you are more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. Can you shout amen? Jesus paid the price. He fought the battle, and all he wants us to do is to enforce what he accomplished 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. I have been using as a text the second epistle of Corinthians, chapter 1. And as I read this to the audience here, but I'm using this as a text, the 10th verse, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Now you came too late to tell me that God is not a deliverer. You don't have to stay in that same situation you're in. But there is a way out. But here in the book of James, you not only start with joy, to have joy, but you have to have an understanding mind. Not your mind, You put on the mind of Christ. And you begin to think like Jesus thinks. Are you listening to me? That when you go through temptation and when you go through tests, let me read it to you again. In the third verse, it says, knowing this, having an understanding mind, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What do Christians know that make it easier to face trials? That world out there don't know what you know. Now you know, and I know as a Christian, keep your television set on, you know and I know that faith is always tested. How do you know you got it? Unless it's put to the test. But nobody likes the test. Don't get mad at me now. Abraham is the father of all them that believe. That's us. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And Abraham was tested by God. That word tested means tried. The trying of your faith. God promised him something that he could not deliver. I'm talking about Abraham. He couldn't deliver it. He said, as the stars of the heavens are, so shall your seed be. He's childless. His wife's womb is dead. In her 90s, he says, as the sands of the sea, so shall your seed be. And Abraham believed God. And he believed that if God said it, he'll do it. He has an understanding mind that regardless of what the outlook may be, you as a child of God know how to determine what the end's going to be because you're going to believe what God said. It ain't over till it's over. Your faith has to be tested. It has to be tried. So God gave him a son. And Isaac was born. If you know the story, and you do, Isaac was born, and his name was Isaac, which means, and I love the meaning of Isaac. You know what it is, Donna? Huh? Yes, it means laughter. Do you know why it means laughter? When God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to raise up seed to Sarah. It says Abraham laughed. You don't know the old girl like I do. Now God didn't rebuke him. So I call that the laugh of faith. Not very long after, God came down and spoke to him again. And his wife, Sarah, is eavesdropping outside the tent while he's entertaining these strangers from heaven. And God said, your wife, Sarah, is going to bring forth seed. And Sarah heard it and she went, you know what she's saying? You don't know the old boy like I know him. God said to Sarah, wherefore did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. God said, yes, you did. Everyone that comes after you going to laugh with you. God said, I'm the one that's going to make you laugh. 9 months later, this 90-some-year-old woman gives birth to a child. You've been reading in the paper where a 63-year-old woman gave birth. It was in the paper just yesterday. But I want you to know Sarah was in her 90s and gave birth to a child, and she called his name Laughter. God said, I'll fix her. Call him Isaac. That means laughter. That means every time she called him, Laughter! Come here, laughter, and God's going to cause everyone that comes after you. Listen, when you are facing a situation that you don't know what to do, God's going to allow you to laugh at that situation because it's not over yet. You're going through the crucible. You're going through the test. You're going through the fire. But you're coming out of it victoriously because of what God has done in your life. Can you shout praise the Lord with me? Having an understanding mind, knowing that it's easier to test, to face the trials that come because you know that faith is always tested. Testing works for us and not against us. As the Christian, when you go through the test, you are providing the evidence that God means what he says. You heard the testimony of this young lady tonight. And we have it on video, and I hope it's on the same program that it's on now that I'm mentioning. But the doctors declared that she would never be normal in her face. God delivered her and set her free. She was in an accident. God totally restored her and gave her brand new flesh. You talk about beauty cream. You can't put this in no bottle and put it on in a drugstore and sell it. This is something that God did for her. I don't care what the doctor declared. God wants you to believe what he said. Can you shout amen? Dr. Cherry, who is a friend of mine, a spirit-filled doctor, I sat across from his desk. I had congestive heart failure. I died on the operating table. And he said, "You'll never preach again." I said, "The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. God called me to preach. And if I can't preach here, I'm going to go home to glory." He said, "Well, you might preach, but you're going to have to sit down to preach." I said, "Nothing doing. Can you all hear New York? Can you imagine me sitting down to preach? No way, Jose." Hallelujah. I'm talking about a God that can do what the medical profession cannot do. When I had that congestive heart failure, I looked across the desk and he got an ashen look in his face. I said, "Brother Cherry, you look like you need a doctor." You know what he said to me? He said, "Brother Shambach, I'm talking about heart transplant to you. Hear me? Don't turn the TV set off. If you're suffering any kind of heart problems, I want you to know what God did for me, he'll do for you." You that are listening to this on the radio broadcast, Jesus Christ is the answer. God has made a provision for you to be well. And when I went back to him later, he said, "Brother Shambach, you are cleared to go anywhere in the world. I've been to Russia. I've been to Malaysia. I've been to Singapore. We're on our way now to Bulgaria." I'm talking about God when he does something. That's the miracle working power of God. You're going to pass the test and you're coming through. You're more than a conqueror. Can you raise your hands and shout praise the Lord? First chapter of James, let me read it. Now, I've been using as a text from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." In the third verse of the first chapter of the book of James, it says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means moving into a place of maturity, being matured. In other words, grow up. Get rid of the baby bottle. And start chewing on the strong meat of the word. Don't turn the radio dial. I'm talking to you Christians now. Because you're going through some deep problems. And you see no way out. But I want you to know Jesus is going to perform a miracle in your life. And you are coming out of this situation because God is getting ready to use you. That word test means, and that word temptation is translated in the Greek, approval. You are being approved of God. Are you listening to me? Jesus had to be tested of the devil. He never performed one miracle until he was approved of God. Is that right? He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. After his baptism, after John took him down under the water, and when he came up, it says the Holy Ghost came upon him. Charismatics say a dove came on him. The Holy Ghost came on him in the form of a dove. The Holy Ghost came on him. We try to dress him up and call him Holy Spirit. I like to use the old-fashioned term Holy Ghost. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Can you shout praise the Lord? And then Jesus was led of the Spirit. You see, when he came up out of that water, when the Holy Ghost came on him, the voice thundered forth. This is the first time he heard his voice audibly. Those around him heard it. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And when you are approved of God, now you listen to me, you hang in there, you that are going through this problem, you that are going through troubles, God is getting ready to use you. But you've got to learn how to have patience. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Just what I don't need to hear. My wife always tells me, honey, you need patience. I said, I ain't no doctor. I don't need no patience.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this individual that tuned in today. Their back's against the wall. As the servant of God, I come against the works of the devil. He's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Lord, you said you've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, I command the devil release his hold as power comes alive. By the faith of God, I call it done.
We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. Power Today is a listener-supported program produced by Shambach Ministries. To contact Shambach Ministries, call 903-825-9361. That's 903-825-9361. Or write to Shambach Ministries, P.O. Box 9009, Tyler, Texas 75711. That's Shambach Ministries, P.O. Box 9009, Tyler, Texas 75711. Or visit our website at shambach.org. Our website contains information about Power and Praise Tabernacle and the Gospel School of Ministry, as well as a complete television and radio broadcast schedule. Once again, that web address is shambach.org.